Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Tammy had put out on one of the daily delights on the second day under understanding. What I wanted to do was this, is we're going through this journey. We've been just picking up different parts and pieces. And, you know, Daniel, when he gave this little testimony up here, it is very important that obedience is about how we make His name great in this earth. We have an opportunity in our lifespan where we're here. We're only here for just a moment of time in our portion of life for our Father. There's been many, many before us. Abraham's been before us. All these people's been before us. They had their opportunities. Some did a great job. Some didn't do so well. We've seen in the scriptures, in Kings, in Chronicles, where you see, and this king did great in his sight, and this king did not honor him in his sight. And there was a lot more dishonoring they were honoring. So I wrote down, it says, his name or ours, or his house or ours. And what I was doing here is whose name, when we leave this place, when it's all said and done, when I'm laying and I am no more, did I make his name great or did I try to make my name great? What is people going to say? He was this, he was that. Or can somebody say he loved the Father and everything he did for him? That's the key of what I want us to focus on, because in this journey, well, let me just get into the scripture. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Now, that had to be a very powerful time when there wasn't all these different languages. Everybody understood. There wasn't even the dialects of languages. They understood. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Sinir, and they settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly, and use these bricks for stone. And they used tar for mortar. And this is what they said in verse 4. They said, come, let us build what? Ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens. And now what does it say? And let us make what? Ourselves a name. We're not here to make ourselves a name. We're here to make His name great. Now, I want to say this. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, they do say that a good name is better than silver and gold and riches. Amen? We are to have a good name, yes. We're talking a great name. He is to have a great name. When you look in the scriptures, we are to make His name great. We're not to make His name good. We're to have a good name. We're to make His name great and awesome and powerful. And that's what He wants. But they were trying to do something for their name's sake. And it says, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And Yahweh said, behold, they are one people. Now He wants us to be one people, but not for our name's sake, but for His name's sake. See, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be the one people, but it's got to be for His name's sake, not for us. And they all have the same language. One day we will again have all the same language. But we will do it for His name's sake, not ours. We're probably going to teach and we're probably going to meddle, okay? Well, the meddling part is this. I know of great ministries that started off with making His name great. And I've seen these ministries fall over time because they turned around and tried to make their name great. Her dad used to tell me, and it sickened him and it sickened me. Whenever somebody puts on the side of a bus their name, their so-and-so ministries, that's a problem. I think that's a problem. I know you have to understand who, but you don't have to do that. Because what's happening is the Jimmy Swaggers, the Jim Bakers, and all of these people that built these multi-million dollar empires, all of a sudden, they put their name in place of where the humble beginning started. And then there was a downfall of that. And that's what the Father's not going. He is a jealous Elohim. He's not going to share his glory with another. He's not going to do it. And so when people start looking to people instead of to him, because that was the whole issue with Moses in the wilderness. They only were supposed to look at Moses to come to him because they were trying to reach him. But Moses was really trying to teach them, go to him. He was deflecting Yeshua. What did Yeshua say? Come to me and pray to me. I got all your answers. Even Yeshua didn't do that. He said, go to the Father in my name. Pray to the Father. Give him to go. He deflected all praise. All praise, because what was Yeshua doing? Making his name great in the earth? We are to do the same thing. That's what this journey of what he was trying to teach the children of Israel when they come out of slavery is, they're trying to teach them to trust and have faith and make his name great. How do you do that? He gave us his Torah to do it, and he gave us his Holy Spirit to show us how to do it. This is the season that we're coming into, Shavuot. Shavuot, the giving of the Torah, the giving of the Spirit. It's there to empower us to do one thing. While we're here on this blink of an eye time, is to see what me and you can do to make his name great. Because we get only one shot at this, and we have an opportunity, and then we're but a vapor, and then we're gone. So we want to make sure that we're not trying to make ourselves a name. Verse 7 says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So Yahweh scattered them abroad over from the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Confusion messes up a lot of things, doesn't it? He confused it. He stopped their building because they couldn't communicate. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there Yahweh confused the language of the whole earth. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 7. We're going to also tell this from a story. Now, I want to say this too. One world Babylon system, one world government, all of the whatever you want to call it. Okay, there's many names out there. Is configured of political, economic, and religious. We've said that. Because Yahweh has the same system. He lays it out in the Torah. So Antichrist or Antimessiah or Satan has the same kingdom. That's the way he's supposed to do things. They are trying, they're really not trying very hard. They've already accomplished this. They have apps and everything on your phone. Remember we was talking about a few months ago whenever we had a bag phone? You know, we had this big old thing with a thing, a big old antenna, and we had pagers and we had computers. The first computer we had was a big tower, and the monitor was that big, and it was about that big, it was about that deep. And now all of a sudden, you don't need any of that anymore. You don't need your telephone. You had phone lines, you had long distance, you had all these different devices to do something. Now you have a cell phone. Everything that I've just named is on that cell phone. Now you put you an app on there, and now you can communicate with somebody of another language. See, they're trying to rebuild. They're still trying to make, rebuild the Tower of Babel. That's part of the one world system. That's part of this rebuilding so that you can communicate. There's no longer countries. There's companies. What are we going through with the United States and China? What are they fighting over? Trade, tariffs, trade, over trade. Where we're trying to level the playing field, where it is probably 1 million to 100 billion off, okay? I mean, that's how bad it is off. But it's all about companies. It's no longer countries. It's all about companies now, because there's so many companies in China, so many companies here, all over the place. That's all. And they can't get it together, because you know what? Yahweh's still confusing the language. Yahweh's still confusing this thing that you can't. All he's got to do is set a man in the office and say, you know what? Y'all have played games, so you know what? I'll raise tariffs. They put somebody in office to put, you know, just stick a stick in the spokes of a tire is really what he's done right now. Giving people an opportunity to where we better wake up. Think about this. You had a governor, like I said, I'm going to meddle a little while. You had a governor in Virginia sitting there on a radio show saying, you know what? He was a gynecologist. said, you know what? I ain't got a problem. Baby's born. We'll keep the baby comfortable. Me and a couple of doctors will consult. Do you want the baby or not? Well, I don't know what you think. Well, I'm going to tell you, here's what I feel. Well, let's kill the baby. Boom. He makes that statement, and there is an outrage for only just a little while. And then it all got pushed under the rug because of a yearbook. Because he dressed up like a black man and had a black man and all of that. Remember all that came out in the news? So what they did was is they pushed all that aside because what? That's going to be an abortion problem. When that guy said that, he set a firestorm and they tried to put this out. But you know what? It didn't work. You've got 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 states now saying, you know what? We're going back to the heartbeat law. In other words, we're going all the way back and you're saying, you know what? 6 to 8, 6 weeks or whatever, if we detect a beat, you ain't killing that baby. And now they're in a uproar because it upset something. But here's the thing. The Father's giving me and you an opportunity. And while this is going on, we need to be a voice for these unborn children. We need to be a voice to let them know, absolutely. Let me say this. Rape and incest. Me and Tiffany was talking about this the other day when we was eating at Five Guys or Two Guys or whatever guys we was eating at. Here's the thing. I am very, very sympathetic to someone who's been violated. But there's a gentleman. Do y'all know James Robinson? Does anybody know James Robinson? He is a minister. And do you know that his mom was raped and his dad was the rapist? But he has been one of the most powerful men for Elohim that's been on the face of this earth. He has ministered things and he has sent teams over in Africa where they're drilling water for these people that don't have water. So what I'm saying is this. I'm sympathetic. Yahweh, we have to trust that he's in control. We have to trust that when we have something bad. Now, I'm going to tell you, being violated like that has got to be worse than worse than worse. Okay? I'm sympathetic to that. But I'm sure James Robinson was saying, you know what, Mom? I'm glad you endured it because you gave me life. And he took his life and he has touched millions of people for the gospel. So you never know. It's just, there again, as bad as something happens, there's even worse things that happen. But this is about making his name great. And this is our opportunity. There's a war waging right now. And I don't know how long we've got and all of that for our freedoms. But I'm telling you, our freedoms it's weighing into balance. It is crazy. Now, just like Sister Jean in the message that she gave, we trust in the Father. He is our protectorate. I don't have to worry about that. But yet, I still, just like what Arnold said, I'm made up of spirit, soul, and body. And that bread is good for my body. What I put in my body, you know what I'm saying? If I put good things, I should expect good things to happen. But guess what? Maybe all good things don't happen. Maybe that there's a genetic thing that's been passed down that I may have to deal with. There are some people that just has high cholesterol. I don't care if you drink motor oil all your life. It's just sometimes it may be just there. I don't know how all of that happens. But the thing about it is you do your part. And we have to trust that he's going to do his part. Amen. And that's in everything that we do. Everything that we do, we have to trust him. And this is what this season is about. Okay, chapter 7, verse 1. This is Joshua. They've already had their great time. They defeated Jericho. They've had their parties and they blew their little blow whistles and all that. They did all this stuff. But the people of Israel broke faith. In regard to the devoted things, do you know that the Father has devoted things? Tithes and offerings are devoted things. This is why this is so. In this third portion, that's a devoted thing. And do you know if we were to sit here, there's a devoted thing here. Where did that thing go? That's over there. Do you know if one of us touched that? I wouldn't want to touch that for anything in this world. I don't touch it. I don't even know what's in the count half the time. She has to do what she does with the ladies and the people that know. But what I'm saying is that's a devoted thing. That third tithe and that third portion is going to people. That's consecrated. That's a devoted thing. I'm just telling you, devoted things wasn't back in Joshua's day. There's a lot of devoted things here today. Amen? And that's what this is. This is part of the devoted things that are set apart. But it says, for Achan, the son of Carmi, maybe that's where Toyota got the car, you reckon? No, Carmi. Oh, I thought I said, okay. Okay. Achan was from the tribe of Judah. He took some of the devoted things, and the anger of Yahweh burned against the people of Israel. Now, Joshua sent men. Now, this is verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now, right here at this moment, I want you to track with me. Joshua doesn't know that Yahweh's angry. Okay? Joshua doesn't know that Achan took some devoted things. There's a lot of times in our life we think things are going good. We start making decisions off of things are going good. But Yahweh wants us to inquire of Him before we make decisions. No matter how much you think things are going good. Because there may be something not going good in the background that you're not privy to. And this is what's important about this story is Yahweh's been trying to tell them through the wilderness for over 40 years with the spy deal and all of the disbelief and all of the people that died and all of these things happened with Korah and all that. Joshua should have known with Moses that, you know what? It is important that every time I go to make a move, especially if I'm going to go fight somebody, I need to inquire of him. I need to get my marching orders here before I give marching orders here, okay? So Joshua was not privy to what's going on here. So he sends some men over there to Beth Aven, east of Bethel. And he said, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and they spied out Ai. And it says, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the men to go up. Let only 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. In other words, you know, don't bother with everybody. Grab a few good men, send the Marines or whatever, and go in there and do what you got to do and get out of there. It's not a problem. Then it said, so they did that. And then it said, the men of Ai, in verse 5, killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gates as far as Sherebrim or Barim, and struck them at a distance. And it says, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Well, all of a sudden, that big old party and all them feel good that was going on when they defeated Jericho, walls falling down, blowing trumpets, marching around, and all of that, great victory. You don't lose anybody, and you annihilate everybody. And then all of a sudden, you go up against a little old varsity or JV team, and they end up beating you like this, killing your men, and now all of a sudden, your heart is like water. Is that not the way man is? Strong, drink 6 beers, you can beat everybody up. You know what I'm saying? It says beer's a brawler. That's what it's saying. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't work out that way when you sober up. I don't know what was going on here, but here they go out on their own. They're going out on their own might. Whose name are they trying to make great? Maybe they're starting to think, hey, I'm feeling good about myself. It's great to feel good about yourself, but I always know he brings the good feelings. Amen. To know that we're in obedience and connection. Then Joshua tore his clothes and he fell to the earth in his face before the ark of Yahweh until the evening, and he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. Lewis says here, verse 7, and Joshua says, alas, O Yahweh Elohim. Oh, now it's a good time to bring him into the picture. Alas, Yahweh Elohim. Why have you brought this people over to Jordan at all? Now, you got to understand, Joshua is saying this prayer because he thinks he's in good relationship. See, when you think you're in good relationship and you think that you're in the right and maybe he's in the wrong, you sort of get, your way of dressing is a little different. In other words, when my wife knows that I have done something wrong, Jeremiah, she uses this term 1,000%. I mean, I know for 1,000%, okay? It's not 100%. She's letting me know that without a shadow of a doubt, I know all information and I know exactly, and you're missing something. Joshua is in this position here to where he believes that he's in great relationship with the Father, because listen to the way he's doing this. Alas, O Yahweh Elohim, why have you brought this people over to the Jordan at all? To give us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. He's complaining to him. He's charging him, you don't have the power. What are you doing? You bring us over here to kill us? What are you trying to be a trickster? This is what he's doing in this. What that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. In other words, we were over in the wilderness. We had manna. We had everything. We would have been good there. Why didn't we just stay there? Verse 8. O Yahweh, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants, I want you to listen to this now. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off what? Our name from the earth. So now look what he says. And what will you do for your great name? So do you think Yahweh's answer is going to be a soft answer when Joshua just accused him? See, Joshua's thinking, you know, Israel, our name. And then all of a sudden, when it doesn't go well, what are you going to do about your great name? And all of a sudden, you're going to pull that card on him? Well, you know what, big shot? Where was you calling out to his great name before you went to Ai? You see what happens there? You see what I'm saying? Where was you? You're going to sit here and you're going to pull that card and you're going to throw a blame on him. Why didn't you consult him if you was all worried about that? See, this is why a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble. We're no different than Joshua. I know I've been Joshua many times. You know what? I said, well, why is this? Why is this? And he said, well, big boy, why didn't you come to me before? I'd have told you not to buy that, or I'd have told you not to do this, or I'd have told you not to go there. But you know what? You didn't ask, and I let you go. And you fell on your face. You got all muddy. You go to crying. You throw dust all over yourself. You look like a pig pen. And then all of a sudden you come to me and saying, well, you know what? Where there's two or three together, you know, I start going and doing all the faith scriptures. And he says, oh, now you want to come to me. You want to come to me now after things are not going well, and you want to start invoking all of these verses, and you want to start throwing the scriptures back at me? Well, let me tell you something, big dog. That ain't the way it works. The way it works is you should have come to me before you started all of that, and you would have known what to do. That's what he's really saying, and I put myself in this position because, guys, I've been Joshua before. Amen, Tammy? So this is what Yahweh in verse 10 says to Joshua. He says, get up. Some says rise, but if you'll notice that, if there's an emphasis on that word, he's not saying you poor little baby. He's saying, get up. He's on his face. That's what we're supposed to be when we come to him. No, get up. I need to talk to you eye to eye. You need to get. He was stern. He says, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned and they have transgressed my covenant that I have commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and they have lied and they have put among them they have put among their what? Own possessions. Therefore, the people of Israel. And I wrote in here, it says, you know what? The sin of Achan is Israel's sin. Sometimes the sins of our fathers are passed down to generations. The scriptures say that. But do you know what? It says Yeshua came to do away with the curse of the law. You know that these generational curses, we can pray, and we do believe that we can pray to break these curses. Amen. That's what the blood of Yeshua is there for. It's not to do away with the law, but it's to do away with these generational curses. Do you know what a generational curse may be? That you got high cholesterol. Do you know what? We can pray and he can break that. That's a curse. We can break that. You never know. I was born late in life. And what I mean by that is I was born right at the Civil War. No, I'm not. No, what it means I was born late in life, that my mom and dad was a lot older whenever I was born. I was, you know, my brother and sister's 12 and 10 years older than me. So really when I got up to really where I could have a conscience, they were out of the house. So I was like an only child. But the thing about it is, you know, knowing and going and learning and believing, and there's just so much. I just thought I just knew everything as an only child. You know, I didn't have that, you know, I guess sometimes we do that. But I have made a lot of the mistakes that Jacob has made. But at the same time, since I was also a lot younger, I only knew my grandfather a little bit. Because really, time I was old enough to realize, they were already passed away, my grandparents. So I don't know really the third and the fourth generation. I don't know what happened in these generations. I don't know. One of them may have been Bonnie and Clyde. I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? But there's certain things that's passed down. But Yeshua, he can break these things. There's people that's been alcoholics for generations. That can be broken in Yeshua's name. Amen. But you got to receive that by faith and trust that that can be broken, and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is all about, that he can break these strongholds in our lives. Amen. That we don't have to be bound, but we have to be connected with him. We can't do like Joshua. We can't say that, well, you know what? I've had a few good battles in my life. I think I can take AI. No, you can't. You can't take squat on your own. You can't take anything on your own. You can't win. I just want to overemphasize, we need him in every area of our life. Amen? Just every area. Because here's what happens, and I've been there, and I've done that, and I've made mistakes. Because what happens is there's a few good things. I mean, he can do great things in my life. And I'm excited, and we'll pray, and we'll do a turkazia, and we'll do all these things. Amen? Then all of a sudden, I start getting too confident to where I just don't want to bother the Father with these little things. But you know what? He says, you better bother me, because you don't know what's an underlying cause of maybe these little things. Maybe I'm trying to show you something now to keep you from something greater down the road. He wants us to stay in communication is what I'm trying to say here. And because Joshua was not in communication, people lost their lives here. And that's the tragedy. And they could have been a lot more, but only 36 died here. But they could have been a whole lot more. But he told him, he says, you get up. Israel has sinned. Verse 12, he says, therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. So if we're not in right standing with him, he's saying he's not going to fight our battles. And I can't overemphasize enough this point. Joshua really thought he was in right relationship with the Father, because he wouldn't have come. And I'm going to tell you where I believe Joshua learned this. Where he learned this language from was from who? From Moses. But Moses was in the right relationship. See, Moses went out, and I can go back through, I don't have for time. Moses went many times, and he says, this, this, and this. Remember, Yahweh turned around and told Moses, he said, your people, Moses. Moses said, no, you ain't throwing that one on me. He said, no, these people are your people. And you deliver them. What will the nation say? Because it was for your name's sake. But see, Moses was in right relationship. And Yahweh just wanted to see, because he was trying to say, you know what, I'll kill them all and I'll start over with you. No, that's not what this is about. Remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, when you're in right relationship, you can remind him of his word. That's what he wants us to do. But if we're not in right relationship, remind him of your word, he's liable to say, get up, repent, and then we will talk. Amen? Well, then we can have this conversation. That's what this is about, trusting and knowing where we are with him. Verse 13, because he said, get up, consecrate yourself. That's what Tammy just said, repent. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. And thus says Yahweh, your Elohim of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies. How long? Until you take away the devoted things from among you. Then he went on and he told them about the tribe and which one it was. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8, and I'm going to finish up here. I'm just going to hit a couple of verses here because you got the gist of this. Because I'm going to show you how important, this is very, very, very important, what I'm fixing to share with you here. They went into the land, and when they went into the land, he said, everything belongs to me. To me, that's first fruits. That's what first fruits is about. After that, he started letting them divide it among themselves. But Jericho, everything belonged to him. And that's why it was consecrated, set apart, was because of first fruits. I believe that's why he said that. They were not allowed to take anything from Jericho, and that's what they had gotten. Okay, verse 41 in 1 Kings 8, if we're there. Likewise, when a foreigner, we know what a foreigner is, who is not of your people Israel, comes from a far country, from afar, not like it's a fire out there blazing, from afar, means a long ways, got to help these northerners. It says, for your namesake, now this is your namesake, this is talking about Yahweh's namesake here. When a foreigner comes to the temple, when the foreigners come into Israel for your namesake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. So you know he's talking about Yahweh. Yahweh, this is just like when he delivered them out of Egypt. And when he comes and prays towards this house, this is why when we pray, we pray towards the house. We pray towards the house. We are the body. We understand that. But we pray towards Jerusalem because this is what he was saying. So we're showing honor. We're praying towards this house and towards this land. Here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all which the foreigners call to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as what? As do the people Israel. And that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. This is what is supposed to happen. Israel, we're not going to go to Ezekiel. You want to read Ezekiel, you can read this. It's talking about the same thing. The children of Israel were supposed to be obedient to the commandments. By being obedient to commandments, Yahweh gave rain in its season. He made them prosperous. Just like the time when Solomon's kingdom, people from all over, all the foreigners came from all over to seek great wisdom. Because there was no man wiser than he at the time. Because the Father blessed Solomon because of Solomon? No, because of David. He reaped where he had not sown. A lot of these apostles, our disciples, what did Yeshua tell them? You reap where you not sown. A lot of the prophets were sowing, and they gave their life talking about the Messiah, but I'm here, and you're getting the reap. You get to see me. You get to touch me. You get to be a part of this ministry. You didn't sow in this. You're just here. And the thing about it is we also get to reap what we did not sow. But this is the beautiful thing of the Father's allowing us to be a part of His house, but we've got to do it His way. And if we do it His way, because here's the thing, He's trying to make His name great among the people. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the world respects Christianity? Do you think the world respects our Heavenly Father? If they did, they wouldn't kill a baby. You know what I'm saying? If there was fear and honor of Him in the United States, look, there's no country that fears and honor Him like they're going to. Guys, there are pockets and there are remnants of people that fear His name. And these pockets and remnants of people, He is blessing and He is pouring out His Spirit and His blessings on us. But guys, we can't mess that up. We can't be like Joshua. Now Joshua, he repented. They were able to pick themselves up by the bootstraps. They consecrated themselves. But that's the beautiful thing is we can do that, yes, but we don't need to mess this up. He is restoring. He is rebuilding. He's doing something. I just believe this with all of my heart. That he, through this election, and we're fixing to go into another one, and I'm not trying to bring politics into this. But all I'm saying is this. Is he gave us a window. He gave us a window to be able to take this land back. He gave us, and you know what we did? Before this election happened, people were praying. We were going to every capital, and we were praying, if my people who are called by my name will repent. But since the election, you don't hear all of that. Why? Because everybody's relaxed. Oh, we got good people in there now. Everything's good. And now we're doing an AI. We're not still crying. We should have been. Now, we rejoiced like Jericho, but then we sat down like they did at Ai. So the people, the children of Elohim, and I'm telling you, there is an onslaught against righteousness. Now, I'm not saying the man in that office is a righteous person. I'm not saying that. But I can tell you what, have you ever noticed that he uses the Pharaohs, Babylon, Cyrus, Darius. You ever seen how he used all these kings and they wasn't an Israelite king? He done mighty things. And these people changed because of Daniel. He changed because of these Hebrew children. These kings changed because there were power. Remember she had that in one of the delights? Whenever one of the kings went and took the gold and things, the consecrated, devoted things, and went and offered them to the gods of gold. He said, go to the temple and get this stuff, you know, and bring it out here. And they did it. And a hand appeared and started writing on the wall. They said they sort of got a little afraid. No, they got big time afraid. But then his wife turned around and said, you know what? There was somebody that was in your father's companionship. You need to go get him because this man right here hears from the father. This man here was the interpreter of dreams. In other words, when nobody else could do anything, this man. And Daniel always said what? I can't do anything. If he don't give it to you, you ain't got it. So he deflected this praise. And you know what? Yahweh in Babylon, Yahweh made his name what? Great. It made his name great to where Nebuchadnezzar made a decree and said, we will honor the name of Daniel, whatever his name is. He doesn't even know, but he's a king, and here's a king who's equal to a god in most places. And he's humbling himself and saying, we will recognize him. That's all Yahweh's doing out through every generation. He's trying to make his name great, and he gives us the opportunity to do it. If we're out here trying to make our name great, we're missing this whole thing. He gives us the opportunity, and you know what? Me and you get the opportunity to live, to serve with him for eternity in his great name. And guys, that's what it's about. Because you can live on your name, and you can be just as dead, and you can have a lot number over there in the graveyard, and that's done. And you know what? All these memorials and all these statues they make, you ain't never going to get to see it. Thing about it is, it's about him. Right, Roy? It's about him. And so my thing today is this. I've been a Joshua in my life. He wants us to pray to him for everything that we do. He wants us to be, because if we will do that, I'm telling you, you just never know the little bitty battles that come up, the little bitty things that come up. You know, y'all building a house now. I know Doug and Tara's built a house. You know, they're so excited that they're not you right now. Okay, they're in the resting mode. But you are. But you know what? Just like they were doing, they pray. You got to keep ahead of things. You got to pray. And you just know. Don't pray about everything. And he'll send the people that need to be there to help you. Did you think about this or did you think about that? If you'll do it. Sometimes you can get good at it. And then the better you get at it, then you might not pray. And then you got some of the contractors, you know, Mark, you know what I'm saying? There's probably a lot of times I know that he's probably prayed and said, you know what? This is the way this was, but now all of a sudden everything seems to be changing. And when things change, what do? We pray. We pray and say, Father, what's going on here? Because you never know. But anyway, in this journey, it's about faith and it's about trust. That's what everything's been about. He wants to make his name great. Let's do that for him. Amen.